Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Missing Pages of History, a program that is dedicated to serving underserved communities and to bring information that will enlighten you, motivate you, and stimulate you to bring a positive change to your community and new world. Dave will share with you some interesting mini facts as it relates to our theme for the day, which is a critique of the criminal justice system and policing our community. Our emphasis today will be more on the role of the prosecutor and the probation system. One of the questions we really want to ask today and answer is, who really controls and benefits from this gold-making industry? With us, we have Emmanuel. He is a contributor and analyst of Missing Pages of History. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Welcome. Thank you.
As always, Emmanuel, we want to enlighten our people with some mini facts. We have some mini facts we'd like to present to our listening audience, and can we share with our audience what are your mini facts for today?
Well, one mini fact I'm bringing people's attention today is the first modern police forces in America were slave patrols and night watchers, which were both designed to control the behaviors of African Americans. Black people in America live in a police state within a state. Historian Victor Capiller notes that in 1704, the colony of Carolina, which included that particular time North Carolina and South Carolina, developed the nation's first slave patrol, which is now the police department. Historical literature is clear that prior to the Civil War, a legally sanctioned police force existed for the sole purpose of oppressing the slave population and protecting the property and interest of white slave owners. The glaring similarities between the 18th century slave patrols and modern police, American police, United States of American police, brutality in the black community are too salient to dismiss or ignore. The United States of America was founded as a slave-holding republic, and slaves did not take too kindly to being enslaved, and they often rebel, become enemy of the state. So slave patrols were created in order to interrogate and persecute blacks who were out and about without any due process or formal investigation. And to this day, the police do not serve and protect the black community. They treat blacks as inherently criminal and subhuman. Ever since the first police forces were established in America, lynching has been the linchpin of the African-American police state. That's a fact.
Wow. Those are some very interesting and telling many black facts. It really laid down the foundation for today's program. But more importantly, I think, Emmanuel, it put us in the position for trying to get a better understanding of what we are dealing with when we look at this phenomenon of this large degree of incarceration and killing by law enforcement agencies as relates to young black youth in America. Now, what we would like to do when we talk about this industrial prison system, there are many features and aspects to that. Today, we'd like to maybe highlight and talk about a little bit, Emmanuel, about the role of the prosecutor in the DA, as well as the probation system. At this point in time, based upon your research, what have you found about, and how should we look at this whole issue of the role of the prosecutor and the DA?
Well, the DA and the prosecutor, they have to feel these sales. The main thing is you got to lock people up. There's too much money at stake. We're talking about $90 billion industry, another $70 billion industry. It's altogether $160 billion in profit. Well, how are they getting more money now? Probation departments now, that's being corporized out to private enterprises again. Well, who are the private enterprises? Who are some of these people? Well, Goldman Sachs. Oh, he's on Wall Street. Bass sums at stake. The for-profit prisoner industry is $70 billion industry. It's a $70 billion industry. A company in Philadelphia has a contract with about 600 correctional institutions. And who are one of the investors? Goldman Sachs. They bought in 2007 for $8.3 billion by investors. But it also included Goldman Sachs. Who are some of the other investors? Well, well, well. You'll be shocked. Some of the other investors, they're mind-blowing. I'm going to give you a few of the investors that are included in the prison system. Don't be shocked who they are. Well, where do you want to start off at? Well, let's start off with McDonald's. AT&T, AutoZone, Bank of America, Bayer, all the big guy, Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, Caterpillar, Chevron, ExxonMobil, Fruit of the Loom. Oh, those underwear they wear up in there. Costco, Geico, GlaxoSmithKline, Glasgow Welcome, Johnson & Johnson, Kmart, Mary Kay, Merck, Microsoft, Motorola, Nintendo, Pfizer, Procter & Gamble, Quaker Oats, Sara Lee, Sears, Shell, Sprint, Starbucks, State Farm Insurance, United Airlines, UPS, Verizon, Victoria's Secret, Walmart, Wendy's, just to give you a few. That's amazing, isn't it? And the work release programs include some of the vendors that just gave you, so they work hand in hand. This is a very profitable business. It speaks for itself. Well, what can we do about it? What's got to be done about it? We have to dismantle this system because it only includes you. It don't include anybody else, Bert. Nope, don't include anybody else. Without African Americans being locked up, they will have no system. They will not have a system. They got to lock you up. They have no choice. Their revenue consists of that. See, the system for the police state, they assassinate the black victim twice. One by the way of shooting, now it used to be lynching, but now shooting. And again, to assassinate his character, to justify the public execution. I'm going to repeat that. African American police state assassinates the black victim twice. One by way of lynching, or shooting now, and again to assassinate the victim's character so as to justify the public execution. Well, how did they do that? Through his character. They get his school record, employment status, social media presence. They're all dragged in by the media into the court of public opinion. And if any of it has any bearing on whether an agent of the state has the right to shoot a black U.S. citizen. But this is what's going on. Just to give you a little mini-fact, a little bit of mini-fact here again, the United States, right now, incarcerates more African Americans as a percentage than South Africa did at the height of apartheid. This is how bad it is. This is the state of our prison system. Doesn't make any sense to me. Shouldn't make any sense to anyone. Makes sense to them because of the profit. The profit they make from the system. Private prisons were designed by the rich and for the rich. I name you the vendors that participate in the for-profit prison system. But the system, it does not work. Not unless you lock up blacks. The for-profit prison system depends on imprisoning blacks for its survival. You're the profit margin of America. You are the profit margin of America. And that's where the United States was designed the same way. To pay you nothing, work you like a mule, like a slave, don't pay you no money for 300 years. And when you ask for reparations, they're all crazy now. They're all stupid. Let them try it for 300 years. It don't work for nothing. See where they'll be. How many Donald Trumps will we have in the U.S. of A? The United States was designed like that. From slavery to sharecropping, what we went through, to paying you minimum wage. 71% of African Americans make less than $10 an hour. 30% of whites make less than $10 an hour. 13%. And you're almost 80%. That's where you are. This is parallel to the Germans' Gestapo. They have many parallels to that type of community. Let's take the stop and frisk policy in New York. That was something that was crazy. Well, the people they stopped was Latinos and blacks. 84% of the time they stopped them. They only make up 23% of the population. 5-4%. They're more likely to use physical force against a black person. They're supposed to. But to give you something, a little note I picked up. New York, NYPD. They issued 850,000 bogus summons to meet their quotas. I'm going to repeat that. New York, NYPD. Cops issued 850,000 bogus summons. This is what they had to do to meet their quota system. This is what this is all about. They have to feed the system. That's how many they wrote. We don't talk about New York. What about the other cities? Like a Miami, a Detroit, or a Chicago, or a Dallas, Philadelphia. This is what they do. We are the profit margin of America. Without our money, they don't survive. The system has to be dismantled.
Emmanuel?
Yes.
When we also look at the role of the probation system, how
yes.
does that play in terms of this question of incarceration, the length of time, groups received, and the whole issue of, again, funding more money for the system? Speak to the whole question of the role of the probation system.
Well, the probation system
impact
is being privatized now in 33 states. Going to be privatized in 15 more. Well, what they're going to do is charge you. They're going to charge the person that's working X amount of dollars while they're on probation and have a job. Don't have a job, they still got to pay. So the system is, again, another profit picture from the probation department. Just for, take one incident, a young man got on probation, couldn't pay the court costs of $200 they didn't need to do to put him on probation. He ended up paying $1,200 to the probation department because it was privatized. So he paid $1,000 more to the probation department. See, this is amazing to me. And who they subject this to, these are to the poor people, basically. The ones who know they cannot pay it. It's amazing that they're misdemeanors, they make them into felonies. They plead guilty. 95% of blacks basically face a misdemeanor charge, they waive their rights to an attorney. Well, that's not the way to do it. Always get your public defender. But they say they overwork. So they want you to plea bargain. They get paid $200 to $400 an hour. But it's amazing again that the average person or the average defender or victim, they want a public defender. They should have one. But again, they're overworked, underpaid to a certain extent. They're underpaid. I don't want to say they're underpaid, but that's what they say they are. And again, it's strained, put a strain on the budget. So they got to write more tickets. You got to create more people, again, more probation, because again, the prisons, they have overstocked prisons, so put them on probation. Well, give them to us. Well, well, well. Give them to the probation department, because they're probably owned there. Prison right now is a very big private business, including the probation system. And I'm telling people over and over again, inside the prison, the poorest people are taken advantage of. But that is what's going on right now. The prison system right now, along with public assistance and with the probation department, is being privatized. The system is already privatized to a certain extent. The CCA owns and runs 67 for-profit jails in 20 states with 90,000 beds. And guess who used to be the head of that? Everybody heard of Wackenhut. Wackenhut, of course, guys, uniformed security people. They have lobbyists in Congress. They spent $25 million on lobbying to make sure that their private CCA got prisoners in there. And who they locking up? 72% African Americans. Give you another interesting stat. Of the 159,000 people that are serving life sentences, half are African Americans. And 1 in 6 are Latinos. That's amazing. You have 12% of the population and half getting life sentences, African Americans. Because they're getting paid. One way or the other, they're getting paid. When they saw the profit in the CCA system or the private prison system, they went to the probation department. Let's handle that for you, too. So they're making money off of that also. You're talking about a $70 billion business. $90 billion for the vending people I just named earlier. clothing, the sheets, the beds, the construction. This is a $90 billion business. You know something? We don't own one private prison. Black people don't. We're putting us in it. We should be on the prisons. We should be building them. Why are we not getting paid? We're the ones in it. Why don't we share those profits? Nope, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Emmanuel, let me stop
the system.
Emmanuel, let me stop you right here and just make a quick announcement to our listening audience. You are listening to Missing Pages History. In the next few minutes, we will open up our lines where you can call in and share your views and comments. But one of the things I'd like to raise with you, Emmanuel, if you could speak to the issue of the role of psychiatrists and psychologists are playing when it comes to police training. I received some information earlier that they have psychologists training policemen to just outright to shoot to kill.
Ask questions later.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, that's what's going on. That one, the chief guys, I mean, he testified to more than 200 different cases. And you shoot a person, you go, come get him. Because his first thing is that you fear for your life. And this is his whole key. He has 10 phrases that he used, and that's one of them. You fear for your life. So you fear for your life for a 12-year-old kid, unarmed. You fear for your life for a 14-year-old kid, unarmed, but you fear for your life. There's five police officers, feared for their life, choked hold the young man in New York with five children. Five of them jumped on him, but they feared for their life. Why are you a police officer? You fear for your life. You got a gun on you, taser gun, another type, and you got three or four more guys back up, but you're fearing for your life. An unarmed person got his hands up. You're still shooting him in the back. He running away. He running away because he feared for his life. The role has to be reversed to that psychiatrist. Our next show, I'll give you his name. I like giving names first time around. But this is what they've been taught. He has taught over 200 police departments to shoot first, ask questions later, and I'll come to testify at $1,000 an hour. He's paid. He's not the long ranger now. But he didn't mind putting his out there. He will handle it. Have not one police officer had been incarcerated, basically, or got a 20-year sentence for murder as of yet. Not one. 559 blacks have been killed. And not a one has gone to prison for murder. And a lot of this had been murder. Just to give you an interesting stat, 136 individuals killed by police in the United States since February the 15th. 136. Three killed per day. And this job, police officer's job, is the 41st most dangerous job in the United States. 41. I mean, you'd be amazed. A maid is more in danger. A maid. Y'all got the easiest job out there. They try to make it so hard. Job ain't what it is. If that job was that hard, and that they wouldn't be a police officer. Who want a job that don't pay no money? Especially a white person. Don't make any sense to me. No benefits, no this and no that. They wouldn't have a job. So the job got to be the opposite. Why you want to police in a black neighborhood? 70% black people. And look at the police force of 50 people, there's four black. Well, let's go to a white neighborhood, 70% white, 80% white, and you got 50 police officers, and you got 45 black and 5 white. Let's try that one out. Let's try that one out. But the end product is this. They get a great retirement. They get vouchers. A lot of them get food stamps. They get vouchers for gas and electric. They get food, half price, sometimes less than that, on the beef they're on. They get all types of benefits. And retirement is great. They retire in Arizona. They retire in Florida, two places they mainly retire. And on top of that, they get paid retirement. I mean, huge. And your money, locking you up, giving you traffic tickets and all this stuff, pays for their retirement. We need to be on that same agenda. We need to become more police officers, more firemen. Take your cities over. If you get paid, fighting crime pays. Being a part of the system pays. Retirement pays. And you don't like some folk? Just shoot them. You know we're going to jail. Just shoot them. What they do. Very easy. From lynching to shooting. Understand the job. Those two jobs are 92% white for a reason. Why would you want to be in a black neighborhood? Detroit, Chicago, Philadelphia. Oh. And these large cities, over 75-80% are white police officers. They're there for a reason. And most of them are Germans. I just told you about the Gestapo. Understand the connotations on this thing. We don't understand. I'm giving you facts. I'm giving you facts.
Okay, Emmanuel, we're going to stop you right there, and we're going to take a few phone calls. But before we take phone calls, we'd like to make a couple announcements on behalf of Missing Pages of History. We'd like to share with our audience that Missing Pages of History is now on a T-shirt and cap drive. You can purchase your T-shirt and cap drive now for Missing Pages of History by contacting us at info@mphinc.org. The info...
I didn't write it. You put in the book.
PHINC.org. We own our fundraising drive, and we'd like to have your support. Also, you know that Missing Pages of History comes on biweekly. Our next program will be on August the 22nd. Our next program will be on September the 5th at 1 p.m. And we will be continuing this dialogue, but the theme will be the history of policing in the U.S. The history of policing in the U.S. Again, our next program will be September 5th. Put that down on your calendar, and we look forward to hearing from you. Right now, we're going to hear from our listening audience today. We will go to our caller, caller 9289, caller 9289. Welcome to the Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment, please.
Okay. Good evening. I'd just like to give a few mini facts along with what John already stated some earlier in the program. But in 1989, this is when Huey P. Newton was killed. He was a Black Panther and co-founder of the Huey P. Newton, where he was gunned down by a member of the Black Guerrilla Family drug ring. Also in 1979, 200 Black leaders met in New York. Expressed support for Andrew Young and demanded that Blacks be given a voice in shaping America's foreign policy. And last but not least, the first Black college founded in Tennessee. And although work on the school was started in October 1865, it did not become incorporated under Tennessee law until this day. And that's just some three small minute facts of Blacks.
Fantastic.
Caller, thank you for your contribution to this program. We'll go to our next caller. Caller 3330. Caller 3330. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a comment in reference to the theme of today's program. I recently read an article where there was a individual who was incarcerated for a period of time in a private prison. What he ended up doing was he ended up filing a lawsuit against the prison because he was saying that it was inhumane, the working conditions he had faced, and also in regards to what his compensation was during that time period. He said there was a major contradiction and that there's no way there should be a situation where this kind of scenario should be allowed to exist, because he basically was doing slaving, because he was literally getting paid mere pennies for what were products for, you know, major corporations.
Okay, Carlos, thank you for your comments. Emmanuel,
yeah.
Any comments to some of the things you have heard from our listening audience?
Yeah, the system works. It's amazing to have people work in the prison system for corporations. I told you before, the work release programs, McDonald's have a work release program, they come there. The vendors I call, that's who they work for, basically. They're getting paid about 22 cents an hour, and at the moment, a lot of the private prisons, you have to buy what you have to purchase from the overpriced commissary, what you buy from these vendors. If you got sneakers on, Reeboks, Adidas, all of them, you have to buy those. So your compensation for working, so when you finish working, think you got any money, you don't have any money. They make sure that money circulates and recycles itself in the prison system, and they're making sure of that. So if you need a blanket or you need anything at all, basically, you have to pay for it. So when you leave out of system, you have no compensation. And they're paying you 22 cents an hour. Slave again. You'll be back, but at least you're getting paid something this time. You didn't get paid at all 275 years ago. But you're getting paid 22 cents an hour. If you owe the IRS any money or you owe child support, they take all that money before you leave there. So you have nothing. So you're going to return to the prison system, 85% return. Well, who are you talking about? Mainly blacks can return, because some whites have businesses. Their parents got business. They go work for their parents. Well, we don't have that kind of business. Only 0.5% of us have businesses that can employ when our friends or sons or daughters go to prison to rehire them. That's all the businesses we got. We ain't got but five businesses that we have 10,000 or more of. And that's basically restaurants, cleaning service, the barber shop, a salon, and a funeral home. That's all we got. Over 10,000. Everything else is almost. We can hire one half a person. That's all we can hire. Where a white business can hire, they hire an average of 12 people. We hire one half a person. So what half you gonna hire? The waist up or the waist down? Which one you gonna hire? A half a person. Just to show you some of the things that that when you look at it a certain way, this is the system they have put out here. And like I say again, you're not gonna stop this profit picture. It's a $180 billion business when you really count it out there. But there are ways to do it. The ways to do it. And it's amazing why we don't do it. We are the profit margin of America. We have to dismantle this system. We have to. We have no choice.
All right, we'll go to one more call for the night, and then we're going to give Manu the opportunity to do his summary on the theme and make a few more announcements. So we're going to see this caller. I've been waiting for a while. Caller 4298. Caller 4298. 1 minute, please. A comment or question, please.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, caller, I can hear you.
First of all, I think it's a complex question, this black-white relationships and the struggle. I think Eric Williams' book, Capitalism and Slavery, does a good job of analyzing how the development of institutionalized racism within the United States developed and throughout the world, as a matter of fact. And then there is the Counter-Revolution of 1776, Slave Resistance and the Origin of the United States of America, by Gerald Horn. That's a good book to get a perception of this black-white struggle. And finally, Captive Nation, Black Prison Organizing in the Civil Rights Era by Dan Berger is up to the minute. Latest on the situation in terms of political prisoners and the struggle against white power, basically. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, caller, and we always enjoy hearing other sources where people can go and research and learn more about the history and the present issues that are confronted by our community. Anything in response to the last caller, Emmanuel, about some of the books or just some general things you would like to say?
Basically, we're talking about the prison system. My thing is sure that we have factual type thing, not someone's opinion. So I try to get facts. I deal with numbers. See, that's to say, the corporations control 20% of all the federal prisons. And they control 7% of the state prisons. Well. By the system there. See, in the corporations, all the ones that are built, who control the building? Corporations again. So, but here's the thing that people don't know about. I'm going to read this. I just pulled this out of my brainstorming here. See, they are using one thing to do this. The 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. This is what they're using. And slavery is legal in prisons under the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution. It's legal. See, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted shall exist in the United States. Well. This is how they do what they do. It's all about reading and understanding what they're doing. But again, how many of us know this? So the prison population employs almost 90 million people. It employs 90 million people. That's an amazing number. See, but it's just amazing what we don't know. Factual stuff that we don't know. You got to put it in numbers. The United States has 2.5 million people in prison, which is 25% of the world's prison population. That's amazing. That number is astonishing to me. And we are only 5% of the world's population. We're just 5%. But we hold 25% of the world's prison. Why? Because it's the profit. It's the profit picture. It's capitalism at its best. And the taxpayers pay for this. If you don't lock somebody up in his private prisons, you don't put somebody on probation, the taxes pay for this. Do people know that? That's where your taxes go. If that prison cell is left empty, you got to pay. Your taxpayers pay this. They ain't going to tell you this. But to sum up a couple things that we got to... But I want to sum up today what I said, basically, and what's going on at the moment. The protests and the uprising in black communities. Well, my summary is that the ongoing protests and uprising in black communities are a direct and a just response to censoring, to centuries of worsening incarceration. Modern day lynching and a systemic second-class citizenship from being a post-racial nation. Our race relations are at a new low. All the discontent in black communities will continue to rise towards a dangerous boiling pot unless we, the African-American police state, is exposed and completely dismantled.
We'd like to thank you, Emmanuel, as a panelist and contributor on some pages of history, for giving your perspective, your critique of the criminal justice system and police in our community, with our emphasis today on more of the role of the prosecutor. We'd like to remind our listening audience that Missing Pages of History is a bi-weekly program. Our next program will be September 5th at 1 p.m. And our theme will be on the history of policing in our community. That's right, the history of policing in our community. That program will be September 5th. And we would like to remind you that we currently have a T-shirt and cap drive where we're asking our friends and supporters to purchase at least one T-shirt and cap. That drive will last for this whole month into the 1st of September. If you'd like to have more information and purchase one, please, you can contact us by emailing us at info@mthinc.org, or you can call 804-726-3217. Contributions or donations are welcome. You can send them to P.O. Box 27782, Retro, Virginia 23261. Again, we'd like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come into your homes this evening. And like always, we try to be a vehicle and be a voice for underserved communities. And we are to continue to do our best by filling in those missing pages of history. Until next time, we thank you. This has been Missing Pages of History.